Sex, Is It Sin? An article by Richard F. Ames. Sex pervades our modern culture. Some consider it a, quote, forbidden fruit, while others seek to experience it in all its forms. But what does it mean to a Christian, and what part should it play in your life? There was a time within the lifetimes of some of you reading this article when it was considered scandalous for popular entertainment to make light of sexual immorality. Movie makers adhered to the, quote, Hays Code, and television networks looked to their broadcast standards departments to ensure that their programs were appropriate viewing for the whole family. Sexual activity, when it was discussed at all, was portrayed as something meant to be shared in private between husband and wife. Today, however, sexual perversity is commonly, even routinely, displayed in movies and on television. Numerous studies have documented that pornography is the most popular content available on the Internet. In the media, as in so many personal relationships, infidelity is increasingly taken as a source of humor, and sexual promiscuity is accepted as normal. The idea that some sexual practices are inherently immoral, however pleasurable some may find them in the short term, is dismissed as antiquated by millions today. Even the ancient institution of marriage is under attack in our modern society. Old standards are crumbling as millions live in, quote, open marriages, while others strive to redefine the meaning of marriage itself. Gay marriage, unthinkable even 20 or 30 years ago, is increasingly becoming accepted. The Gallup poll reported in May of 2011 that 53% supported same-sex marriage, a startling increase since 1996 when just 27% favored such unions. This is quoted from the first time majority of Americans favor legal gay marriage, May 20th, 2011. So where does sex fit into all this? Should married couples treat sex as something shameful? Is celibacy a higher ideal for true Christians? Is it sinful for two consenting adults to share physical intimacy? Are there objective standards of sinfulness that still apply today? Who is qualified to define sinful behavior and attitudes? Is there any reason in our modern age to follow what the Bible teaches? If so, what happens to those who disregard the Bible standards? Historically, we see that when men and women have practiced adultery and unfaithfulness in their marriages, the family unit has suffered. At its height, the Roman Empire emphasized strong families, but this emphasis later changed and the empire declined. Scholars have documented the decline in character and morality that contributed to the empire's demise. Historian E.B. Castle wrote that in addition to the problem of businessmen's absence from their families, another problem contributed to the decline, the consequent easy attitude to the marriage tie, the increasing frequency of divorce, and the growing freedom and laxity in women's morals, all of which ended in a loosening of the old family unity in which the best in Roman character had its roots. This is quoted from Ancient Education and Today, page 119. Will our modern civilization follow the pattern of Rome's decay? The Roman philosopher Seneca, writing in the 1st century AD, observed that in his day some noble ladies reckoned the years of their lives not by the number of their consuls, but by that of their husbands, how that they leave their homes in order to marry others, and marry only in order to be divorced. Divorce was only dreaded as long as it was unusual. Now that no gazette appears without it, women learn to do what they hear so much about. Can anyone feel ashamed of adultery now that things have come to such a pass that no woman keeps a husband at all, unless it be to pique her lover? Chastity merely implies ugliness. End of quote. And this is quoted from On Benefits, Book 3. The section was 16. Men, too, are seduced by the false promise of adultery. With increased access to birth control and the easy availability of abortion on demand, sexual activity has increased in the last few decades, as men and women alike have come to believe they can avoid the consequences of that activity. Even the mass media contributes to a culture of immorality that brings about many ruined lives. Millions fail to take seriously the simple biblical admonition, quote, "You shall not commit adultery," quoted from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Yet, if everyone kept this precept, the seventh of the Ten Commandments, lives would be far happier and society would be far more stable. Just as God is the creator of the physical laws that govern matter, He is the lawgiver whose spiritual laws govern our lives. He defines sin, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We would ridicule someone who tried to deny the law of gravity and risk his life falling from a great height, but how many in our society try to deny the consequences of violating God's spiritual laws? Our modern Western world increasingly rejects the Ten Commandments and continues its slide into immorality. Just how bad is it? The Barna Research Group surveyed 10 moral behaviors among Americans and gave this startling report. Quote, "Of the 10 moral behaviors evaluated, a majority of Americans believe that each of three activities were morally acceptable. These include gambling, 61%, cohabitation, 60%, and sexual fantasies, 59%. Nearly half of the adult population felt that two other behaviors were morally acceptable, having an abortion, 45%, and having a sexual relationship with someone of the opposite sex other than their spouse, 42%. About one-third of the population gave the stamp of approval to pornography, 38%, profanity, 36%, drunkenness, 35%, and homosexual sex, 30%. The activity that garnered the least support was using non-prescription drugs, 17%. Morality continues to decay, November 3, 2003. What will happen to a society that holds such immoral values? From beginning to end, the Bible reveals that obedience to God's laws brings blessing, while disobedience brings cursing and penalty. This is not just an Old Testament concept. Notice, quote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Quoted from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Yes, there is cause and effect in life. When we do what is right, we enjoy a good effect. But when we do what is wrong, our sin causes a painful effect. Even if sin may seem pleasurable for a time, its after effect will be devastating. Considering all this, is celibacy the answer? Some professing Christians have the idea that it is somehow more holy to remain unmarried. The Apostle Paul, however, disagreed with this idea, explaining that, quote, "It is better to marry than to burn with passion." This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9. We have seen the scandals surrounding thousands of men who in the name of their religion pretended to live as celibates, but privately engaged in the most reprehensible behaviors. God does not value such hypocrisy. He gave marriage as a good thing, an institution valued from the very beginning of the human race. It was God who told Adam and Eve, quote, "Be fruitful and multiply," Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Sex in marriage. Godly sex in marriage binds husband and wife together in love and intimacy. The relationship between husband and wife also has a spiritual dimension, as the Apostle Paul explained, quote, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish." Quoted from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Yes, a husband is to love his wife as Christ loves his church. Paul continued, quote, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is quoted from verses 28 through 33. God values marriage and gives his blessing to sexual activity within marriage. "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled," quoted from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. He even instructs husband and wife to submit to each other sexually, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The Bible is clear. God made sex to be shared by husband and wife in marriage. Any other sexual relationship is sin. Note the last part of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, that, quote, "Fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Yes, God is the judge. Sexually immoral individuals need to repent of their sinful lifestyles. Further, the Bible describes specific sexual acts that are prohibited, including forms of sexual perversion. You can find this in Leviticus chapter 18. Just one chapter after outlining such prohibitions, God revealed the second great commandment to, quote, "love your neighbor as yourself." You find this in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Jesus quoted that passage from Leviticus in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. Of the Ten Commandments, the first four show us how to love God, and the last six show us how to love our neighbor. Jesus said, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments," quoted from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. Are you willing to obey God and keep the commandments? Some states and nations are acting as if they know better than God. Support for same-sex unions is becoming more and more common. Consider that in the United States, though many state constitutions contain language defining marriage as between one man and one woman, at least 9 states have legalized same-sex marriage. Around the world, same-sex marriage is legally recognized in Argentina, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Portugal, South Africa, Spain, and Sweden. The Middle East state of Israel recognizes same-sex marriages performed elsewhere, as do several states in Brazil and Mexico. What confusion! In the 1st century AD, the city of Corinth in Greece was a center of worldwide commerce, and also a center of paganism, idolatry, and sexual immorality. Nevertheless, many Corinthians repented of their sinful lifestyle and became Christians. The Apostle Paul warned them against the temptations of their day. Quote, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." You find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Are you practicing any of those behaviors? God says that none who are will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of the Corinthians had repented of those sins, and they were forgiven. The Apostle Paul continues, quote, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Find this in verse 11. Misleading leadership. In today's society, many who pose as religious leaders mislead people by telling them that they are not sinning when in fact they are violating the commandments of God. The prophet Jeremiah lamented such false leadership and foresaw dire consequences. Quote, "Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this?" An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? This is quoted from Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 29 through 31. People may be deceived, but they love to have it so. According to the Barna Research Group, many who call themselves, quote, Christians, approve of behaviors the Bible defines as immoral, including cohabitation, defined as living with someone of the opposite sex without being married. Barna reports, quote, the biggest gaps between Protestants and Catholics were found in relation to cohabitation. This is deemed morally acceptable by 50% of Protestants and 66% of Catholics. Sexual fantasies, 51% and 63% respectively, and gambling, 52% and 70% respectively. This is from Morality Continues to Decay, November 3, 2003. Some who are careful to avoid physical adultery think that they can avoid sin by keeping their adulterous fantasies in their minds. Yet Jesus himself revealed that it is possible to sin in the mind, even without illicit physical conduct. Quote, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. As our Savior warned, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And this is quoted from Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. How much sinful sexual fantasy finds its way into your mind? Plenty if you watch television. With its title, The New Normal, a title seemingly not meant to be ironic, one television program that debuted in 2012 is a sad example of where our media seems to be headed. Consider the show's description as promoted by NBC, the network on which it airs. Quote, these days, families come in all forms, single dads, double moms, sperm donors, egg donors, one-night stand donors. It's 2012 and anything goes, end of quote. How do these trends affect young people? One report noted, quote, in the top 20 shows among teen viewers, more than 8 in 10, that is 83%, include some sexual content, including nearly half, that is 49%, that have sexual behaviors, and 1 in 5, that is 20%, that have sexual intercourse. The top teen shows average 6.7 scenes per hour with sexual content. This is quoted from Sex on TV 3, a biennial report of the Kaiser Family Foundation, 2003. The report continues, quote, if you ask teens what role sex on TV plays in their own lives, nearly 3 out of 4 say it influences the sexual behaviors of kids their age, and 1 in 4 admits it influences their own behavior. Quoted from the same publication. Yes, the mass media does influence our attitudes and behaviors. We need to be on guard against those temptations that lead us to sin. Pornography is a booming business around the world and leads many to sexual crimes, including child sexual abuse. In a Canadian study of convicted child molesters, 77% of those who molested boys and 87% of those who molested girls said they were regular users of hardcore pornography. This is quoted from a report on the use of pornography by sexual offenders report to the Federal Department of Justice, Ottawa, Canada. Although our world's media are filled with sexual images, messages, and temptations, a Christian must not give in to these influences. As Scottish novelist Margaret Oliphant famously observed, quote, as a general rule, temptations come when they are sought, end of quote. We must turn away from evil and stay close to God. Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven, quote, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. If you are indulging in pornography or any other sexual vice, you need to repent. You need to quit sinning. You need to take decisive action to prevent your easy access to sexual temptations. The Apostle Paul gave this urgent instruction, quote, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Some believe that sexual sin is a victimless crime. Quote, "But God says that sexual sin is a sin against your own body." Paul continues, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Verses 19 and 20, King James Version. Will you make the commitment, if you have not done so already, to glorify God in your body and in your spirit? God's way of life through Christ is the abundant life, as Jesus stated in John chapter 10 and verse 10. You can have that life of genuine happiness if you follow the awesome and wonderful spiritual laws of God. Inset box, page 13. God's plan for happy marriage. You can have a fulfilling marriage by using some simple and practical principles found in Scripture. Request a free printed copy from the regional office nearest you or order at tomorrowsworld.org. PDF, EPUB, and Kindle are also available.